Tonight, I want to show you the occultic ingredient in the wrong music. And to, I think, really get this, I'm going to give you a history lesson on music. And I'm going to show you, first of all, how secular, worldly, and religious music about 400 years ago sounded a lot the same. Now it's totally different. Church music sounds a lot different, what we would call good church music, than what the world is producing. Okay, but it didn't. There's always been a bad music. We know that from Exodus 32, right? There's always been a music that sounded like people fighting in war. All right, but as music has developed, where does rock music come from? Where does blues come from? In the Bible, music is used by man to glorify God or to feed the flesh. God created music for his glory. We're not supposed to use music for our glory. You say, well, I like my music because it makes me feel good. Your music isn't supposed to make you feel good. It's supposed to. God is supposed to feel good with your music. God is supposed to approve. Your approval is last, not first. Satan uses music to deceive, and he's been doing it for 6,000 years. Satan, music is Satan's specialty. He was God's song leader. God created him with the ability to create music or generate music, and so his main tool today would be music. And to deceive, Psalm 56:10 says, "In God will I praise his word, in the Lord will I praise his word." Two times God says, praise his word, in the same verse. Music is supposed to be used in conjunction with the Bible. Okay? Good music drives Bible truths deep in the heart. Music, proper music, is always used to help the people get the Bible. In God will I praise his word. It's the Bible and good music, they're intertwined very importantly. Okay? Next, the Tower of Babel. To understand the Tower of Babel in Genesis chapter 10, I've told you before, if you'll read the first 12 chapters in Genesis for the rest of your Bible, those first 12 chapters are referred to for the rest of your Bible. Understanding the Tower of Babel. It's where man started his rebellion against God after the flood. And guess how the world ends? With the world unifying in rebellion against God. It's going to come full circle. So understanding the Tower of Babel, you've got the pagan worship of Baal, or the sun god after the flood. All paganism and false religions stem from the Tower of Babel. Okay? Every false religion in the world comes from Babylon. Okay, if you've never read the book, The Two Babylons by Alexander Hislop, it is a wonderful book that illustrates all this and diagrams it. All woman and child worship stems from the Tower of Babel. How can people worship Mary when a woman in your Bible represents false religion? Jezebel, Athanasia, all of those. A woman in the Bible, Revelation, all of that represents false religion. Where did that come from that you worship a woman? That comes from Babylon. Worshiping a woman with a baby is all over the world, okay? In Egypt, Assyria, okay? Isis, Ishtar, Sibyl, Aphrodite, Venus, all of these, Diana and Ephesus, and then here's the sun, the baby in the arms. It all comes from Babylon. Okay? All of it. So Babylon is the source of every, I don't care if it's Zeus or the Vikings or, you know, Thor or all these false gods, it all comes from Babylon. Okay? Important to understand. We spent a Bible study on that, on where do the false religions of the world come from. I just wanted to glance through it here real quick. Now let's start on medieval Middle Ages, okay? In 450, for about 1,000 years, you're going to have the devil's millennium or the Dark Ages when the Catholic Church ruled the world. And it was the beginning of basic system of musical notation, how we get notes, okay? It has not, in Bible times, no, they did not have notes on paper. It was different. But this idea of looking at a piece of sheet music and following the notes, it developed in the Dark Ages, and it was the beginning of multi-notes or polyphony, and then music was an integral part of worship, both in pagan and Christian, okay? Next, you have, here's an example. Here, this is called the Troubadours, and they are in the 1100s, and this is a recording of their music. They called themselves the Menesingers, or Singers About Love. Okay, they performed primarily for kings and nobility, and they were typically accompanied by a stringed instrument. So what did music sound like that was done publicly in the 1100s? Okay, no, this was not recorded in the 1100s. Okay, this is a recording of the type of music that was in the 1100s. Okay, I didn't know they had recorders back then. Okay, they sang about chivalry and courtly love. Okay. Doesn't do anything for me, kind of depressing, but it's stringed instrument and somebody singing along, okay? So you had a melody and you had an instrument, okay? Next, you have the Renaissance period, which is going to be in 1450 to 1600. The word Renaissance means rebirth. Many changes were made in the way music was created. Composers concerned themselves with three areas of music, okay? Sacred, secular, or for the world, and then instrumental music, okay? And doesn't do a whole lot for me either. Kind of depressing, but that's what it sounded like. Okay? All right. It's got that minor to it. Okay? But that's you got to understand, the idea of harmony comes from the monks at the monasteries, and they would sit and hum, and then finally things started getting with the composers, and music started really broadening. So after the Renaissance, here's, and just so you know, that's secular and sacred music, both of those examples, they sound real similar, don't they? So what was played for the world and what was played for church were very similar. Very similar. It wasn't like one was, you know, dancing music and one was reverent. They sounded a lot alike, okay? Now listen, there was bad music, but it was hidden. In other words, you were a wicked person if you listened to the really bad stuff. You understand what we would call barroom nasty music? So it's always been around, but it wasn't in the open. You understand? Okay, all similar in nature. They shared smooth, gentle rhythms and melodies with balanced phrases. Okay, that's going to be the... Then you have the Baroque period. This is how they break down music areas. And this is 1600 to 1750. And the word Baroque means bizarre. And the reason it was bizarre is musicians embraced the idea that music could move the listener in a real and physical way. So they started finding out the power of music. And so it's called the Baroque period. And you have people like Vivaldi. I don't like the long hair, but I wasn't around back then, or I'd have told him to go get a haircut. But anyways, okay, he's supposed to be one of the most famous violinists in history and a composer. He wrote the music. His music's very good for your mind, also, by the way. Okay, but like the stringed voices. Okay, so that's. His compositions, okay, so this is starting, music is starting to get really broad versus, okay, really full there, okay, so that's Vivaldi, and 1725. Then you got, of course, Handel's Messiah, 1741. He needs a haircut too. Okay, I don't know what they're singing, but I'm sure it's good, okay? Now, you have in 1640, you have the first hymnal printed in America, okay? You've got the Bay Psalm book, and it was printed, the first hymn book in British colonial America. So what did it sound like 300 years ago or 350 years ago? Okay? That's church music. It's going to develop. Keep in mind, church singing is really going to up in 1670s when they start doing it more openly. When we take a hymn book and sing, that's only about 350 years old. You say, Jesus did in the Bible, but churches haven't always done it. Okay? So that idea of singing together, it's about 350 years old. Here we go. Then you get the classical period. That's going to be from 1750 to 1800. Now the piano becomes the primary instrument used by composers. And music begins to be seen as an innocent luxury. It's for the rich, but the piano is becoming a major instrument and a standalone. You have Francis Hopkinson. You say, who is he? He was one of the signers of the Declaration of Independence. He helped design the American flag, and he was one of the first American composers. And he wrote the song, My Days Have Been So Wondrous Free, in 1759, and it was included in a collection dedicated to his close friend George Washington. Okay, I hope there's not a statue of him around, or they're going to try to tear it down. That was a joke. I wish you'd have heard it. But this is what it sounded like. That's something that they would have sung in church, okay? About the late 1700s, okay? So, then you've got Beethoven. He comes on the scene, and he produces his third symphony, Eroica. And this piece marks the beginning of the Romantic period. You say, what's Romantic classical music? It is really full, intense. Okay. Okay. Then you have the Romantic period, which is going to last about 100 years, and it's characterized by using music to tell a story or express ideas. Okay? So some big shifts were happening. Nature was seen in a less idealized way than before. And then it was less a model of perfection and more a source. Now it becomes a way of really moving you, and it's a source of mysterious power. Okay, this is going to be in the 1800s. You'll notice Charles Darwin begins to really change the thinking of humanity. Charles Darwin comes out with his book on evolution, which still, you know, nobody's read the book. Okay, because the whole title of the book is called, okay, By Means of Natural Selection, okay, Preservation of Favored Races in the Struggle for Life, by Charles Darwin. Okay? It says in the, I don't know how they can teach that in the public schools. It teaches the brown-skinned man and the black man, it plainly says it in the book, are the link between monkeys and men. How can you teach that in a public school? That's because nobody's read it. Do you understand? Nobody's read it. They just lift it up because it's against the Bible. That's its only function. Okay? But as far as having scientific, or it's nasty. It's a wicked book. It's got a lot of wrong things in it. Okay? But this starts to come on the scene in the middle of the 1800s. As the thinking changed, so did the music and the philosophy behind the music. So secularism is entering the strong music world. In the 1800s in America, now I'm going to hit the slaves issue here because this is how America's music changed. But what I'm going to show you here in just a second is bad music does not just come from the occult in Africa. I'm going to show you it comes from every continent. Okay, but how did our music in America change when they brought the slaves here? Okay, they brought their music with them, which, by the way, I saw something stupid on the news. They're teaching in the universities that slavery started in America. America invented it. Okay, I don't know if you realize this or not. Do you realize slavery has been a part of civilization since the beginning of time? America and Britain were the ones who put an end to it. They brought an end to it. You're not hearing that on the news. America didn't invent slavery. Give me a break. Okay? It's goofy. The Bible regulates slavery. God made it so hard to own someone else. You had to release them after 7 years. You had to treat them this way. If they had any kids, then, you know, then all that stuff. God made it so hard that most people didn't. Most Jews didn't. There were a few. See, this doesn't fit the narrative of what's going on right now. Okay? It saddens me. Look, I wish they'd tell it on the news. Well, you know, the slave traders bought them in Africa. Who was selling them in Africa? The tribes would conquer, take them to the beach, sell them, and then they had the price of a human life. They had one of those, two of those bracelets at the Bible Museum, and that's what the slave traders gave. They were sold by them. And if slavery is such an issue, the thought of owning somebody else disgusts me. It does every Christian, right? How come they're not against Saudi Arabia and the Muslim countries in Africa that still push slavery? If slavery is an issue. We're not doing it here in America. I don't know anybody. So all this garbage. History helps you unless you erase it. And that's what they're trying to do. Tear down the statues, rewrite American history so you don't know where you come from, and then you don't know where you're going. Okay? Then you get to go wherever they tell you to go. All right? Here we go. Okay. Back to our music PowerPoint. Okay. Slaves from Africa were sold to white merchants in North America. They brought with them from Africa their ritualistic religious practices known as voodoo, heavily wrapped around tribal drums. Okay? So the idea of beating drum, that's imported into America. Okay? With this. Okay? So, voodoo. Why do they beat the drums? To put you in a state, right, that shuts off the front of your mind so that you can become demon-possessed. Okay? So you do the drugs. They take the drugs. Then they beat the drums. That shuts your mind off. Then you get possession. And then immorality always follows. The old three statements, drugs, sex, and rock and roll. They've been together for a lot longer than our country's been around. Okay? But the voodoo has to have the drums for demon possession. Okay? Occultic measures, here we go. On every continent, the occult is the same. They use the same, it's not just Africa. Everywhere you want to be demon possessed, they play drums the same way. Okay? Might vary a little bit with the sound, but the beating to cause your body to do that, it's the same. Watch. Okay? In Latin America, that's bad, right? That's voodoo. That's voodoo music from South America. Okay? What we would call Spanish. All right? It's the same thing. They're playing it to get in contact with their spirits. Watch this. In Native America, here we go, the Indian, the war dance and the rain dance and the dance to the gods, that's a bad beat. Why are they doing that? They're doing it to get possessed and get in contact with the spirit world. That's in America, North America. Watch this. In Scotland, Druids, right? Where we get Halloween and trick-or-treat. Why are they beating the drums? Because that's what their occult requires. You have to beat the drums to put the body in a trance so that it can be possessed. Here we go. How about in Russia? Same thing. Little variation, but it's still a bad beat. It is to be possessed. That's what they're struggling for. That's what they're pushing for. How about in Japan? It's the same thing. Okay. If you want, here we go. How about, I believe, India? I hate Indian music. I can't. But in other words, think with me just for a second. No, bad music doesn't come from Africa. They just do the same thing in Africa that they do on every other continent when they want to get in contact with devils. You have to have the multi-beats and the syncopation, and you've got to get the brain to shut down. They already know this. And then you take the drugs and the opioids and all this other stuff. The trance begins, and then the possession takes place. Okay? It is the same all over the world. All right? One more. Of course, here's Africa. Either way, it's a syncopated beat. It's the same multi-rhythm, polyrhythmic music that shuts the mind down and enables demon possession. Okay? Now that I've showed you, no, bad music does not come from Africa. It's just the African music is what affected America. But this type of music where you beat drums to contact devils, it's on every continent. Okay? So, and isn't it amazing that it's that consistent? You know what I mean? Like one doesn't use stringed instruments, and they all use drums to do that, to contact the spirit world. Okay? So all that is occultic. It's all over the world. In 1800s in America, drums were not accepted by Protestants, and the slaves were forbidden to use them. Then you have Congo Square down in Louisiana, okay? In 1817, in the heart of New Orleans, this became the gathering place for slaves. And, you know, there's the marker right there. And it was here that ritual African music underwent an interesting metamorphosis. So since they couldn't play drums here in America, that's where your tap dancing comes from, okay? Where they would do the beat with their shoes on the ground, since they couldn't have drums. I didn't say all tap dancing is bad. I like watching it, okay? But the, you know, all that stuff, that comes from not being able to play drums, okay? But they were bringing their beats with them until, you know, some of the slaves, they asked some of the slaves, when they got freed, they said, I remember reading one letter of a lady, she said, "I'm so glad I became a slave. Because had I been in Africa, I'd still be on my way to hell." She said, "I came here, learned the gospel, learned the Bible," and she said, "I'm a saved child of God on my way to heaven now." Okay, that's one of the, I guess, good things that came from it. I'm not for slavery, but that's just stuff you don't hear on the news, okay? So you got Congo Square starting to take place. Then, now let's look at voodoo and how they work it, just so that you know I'm not blowing smoke up your nose, okay? John H. Steele, in The World of the Unexplained, written in 1977, he said this. Here's what happens. The follower of voodoo seeks to incorporate a LOA, a Lao, which is called a lesser god, right? Then, into himself by writhing and leaping through a dance while drums bang out complex rhythms to get the mind to shut down. Okay? This happens in voodoo music everywhere. Okay? Now, this is particularly in Haiti. Okay? But it's all the same. It's what I'm trying to tell you. Then, when just the right rhythm is found for an individual Lao, the dancer takes it up and the Lao enters his soul. The religion is strictly Dionysian, sensual. What he's saying is, they take the drugs, then they dance to the music, and they're looking for possession. And then when they get possessed, then the sensuality begins, and it ends with immorality. He said, all voodoo is that way. Okay? So, here we go. To tribal peoples, religious worship is seen as a bodily celebration. This is why the rhythm and the beat in their worship music is so accentuated. The goal of African religions, we could go to any continent, is to experience with their bodies, watch, the crossroads of the physical and the spiritual worlds. Remember, they're looking to be possessed. So they're looking for that crossroads. Okay? This guy here, Richard Hodges, he said, each percussive or vocal part has a slightly different rhythm, which coincides with and sometimes crosses the other rhythms or the guiding pulse at the strategic moments. That's why you saw the pictures of them trying to move their bodies. They're looking. He said they're looking right for the right moment to let that demon enter them. Okay? They're working the rhythms, and that's where all that stuff comes from. He said the drummers often shuffle their feet or sway their bodies in dance-like motions to assist them in maintaining contact with the main beat, especially when the rhythm is syncopated, like what we just heard, all the examples. Okay? Bad drums, bad usage of drums. Here we go. During these rituals that still take place in the Congo and Yoruba land, the intricate layers of the multiple rhythmic drumming are considered the primary source of occultic power. In other words, you cannot have the occult without drums that are beating like that. You can't, okay? That's one of the main ingredients. Here we go. Here's some actual voodoo samples. Can you turn it down a little bit for me? Do you know how to do that? Or are you guessing? Okay. That's old voodoo music. Now it's getting more modern. All I'm trying to get you to see is the ingredients are the same. Okay? It might be an electronic. Okay, we'll stop. There's one on here that they're singing in churches now. It's called We Are the Drums. We Are the Drums. They sing those in churches now. Some of the songs you're going to watch me give you an example of tonight, they're now playing in churches. Okay? But everybody's just, oh yeah, I like how that makes me feel. Okay, it's designed to get you to do that. But the way the originals use it, the original people, is they're looking for possession. I did not say everybody that listens to this is demon-possessed, okay? But that's the way voodoo uses it. Now, what's interesting is that drum beat stays the same into blues, into jazz, and into rock music. And it's the same today. You know what some of you said last time when we did this music study? When you go into the stores, look at how much this has permeated our society. It's everywhere. And you wonder why people are brain dead? I mean, literally walking around in zombie land, okay? That's good. I mean, I sit at the light and I'll watch people. You know, and I'm sitting here going, wow. You know, they got their music turned up in their car. They're zooted. It is so into our society nowadays, okay? Whether it's the stores. Here, a voodoo priestess from Brazil, listen to her closely. She said, the rhythm is more important than the meaning of the words. Listen, our gods respond to the rhythm among all else. That's why it's so important to the occult. They're looking for possession. In Psychology Today, in an article that says you can change your personality, okay? This is in, when was this? 1985. Good grief. That was a long time ago, right? Brother Tigner's going, no, it wasn't. I graduated high school in 1984, but listen closely. In an article that said, if you don't like your personality, you can change it, they said you can change your body with music. Look at what the article said. Musical rhythms affect both our hearts and our brains. One road to arousing a range of agitated feelings, tense, excited, sometimes sexual, is through pronounced and insistent rhythms. Okay? It's because it alters the mind. All right? Watch this. Artfully used to heighten the sexual tension, drumming may produce these powerful effects by actually driving the brain's electrical rhythms, and that was the name of the article, that can change your personality. It's interesting. I'm telling you, I wish it would just work if we just listen to the preachers. When they say the rock music, the rap music is filthy, shut it off. What are people going to... It's not filthy. I'm telling you, it's filthy. It's filthy by its own history. Do you understand? So it'd be nice if the Bible was enough, but trying to give you a little insight into it, it's always been filthy. Okay, that bad, when you hear that type of music, it's like, look, I don't want that in my house. I don't want that in my car. It's filthy. I don't like what it does to my brain. Okay? Next, Michael Venture, okay? In the tribal ceremonies, there was no audience. In other words, in the voodoo practices, everybody in the assembly are the ones dancing to the music. So now they bring this to America, and now you get performers and people who are sitting listening to it. So it's going to go through a change now, okay? And it says here, but in Congo Square, African music was put into a Western form of presentation. Basically a band, and then you got your people listening to it, okay? Now the religious African element, still present, became a secret within the music rather than the object of the music. You say, what are you saying? They couldn't do just drums. They had to put other instruments with it. But the drums, they found out, ooh, so we can play drums if we can combine it with other instruments. So it started to mesh. So drumming enters, okay, the presentation here. Because the visible elements of ritual worship were now hidden, a much wider audience could accept African music. Okay? The drumming. Okay, in the 1840s, a lot of Africans started turning to Christ and were allowed to have their own churches. Some turned away from drums completely. Others incorporated them into their new faith. Okay? They would sing the same hymns as the Caucasians, but with shouting and beating out counter rhythms on tambourines, gourds, and logs. Once again, we can play drums if we put it with this style. So you're starting to watch the drumming come in, eventually bringing about the Holy Flesh movement. Watch this closely. Congregants still sought for possession, only now it was called the Holy Ghost. Isn't that scary? Look, if the Holy Spirit of God isn't pleased with the music, He's not 10,000 miles with that stuff. But they're looking for an experience. And now you got the rock bands and the churches. You got all this going, and boy, they're feeling the Spirit and all that. I think they are feeling a Spirit, but I don't think it's holy. But there is definitely a Spirit there. That's how come I think some of them get so violent when you oppose it. Boy, y'all shouldn't be doing that. You judgmental hater, you filth. I think some of them, I don't think all of them are, but I think some of them are demon-possessed because of what they've given themselves to in the name of church. Okay? Here's an example of Moody and Sankey and their revivals in the late 1800s. Here's Ira Sankey, the man with a golden voice, singing Amazing Grace. Okay? That's different, isn't it? Orchestrated. It affects you differently, doesn't it? It affects you differently. In other words, somebody else, you've heard me say it before. How come you don't have a drum set in your church? Because we don't need one. It would overemphasize it. The music already has rhythm. You don't have to have the drums to keep the song moving and build and have full music. Okay, so. Now this is going to be late 1800s as it starts to what we would call folk music. But it's coming into the church. But a nice song. Okay? Nice, smooth, flowing. Now the... It's going to be later in the 1800s. It's going to be when your bluegrass and your folk starts entering more of the music. It's not horrible, but it's there. Right? There's a beat that shouldn't be there, but it's not dominant yet. Okay, here we go. Thomas Edison invented sound recording in 1877. So, here we go. 20th century. Do you realize when he invented the sound recorder, if you wanted music at all before 1877, you had to go listen to it. The only way you could hear music was live, right? You didn't hit a play button, okay? You didn't hit a phone. You had to go hear it performed. The idea that you could take music home and play it on a Vitrola or something like that, that's a whole... Now, everything's starting to change from 1877 on, okay? Now I can... You mean hear it again? And hear it again? Okay, hit the repeat button, all right? Now, artists started using technology to enhance their compositions. This is going to be in the 19th century. Modern popular music was just coming to life, especially here in America. So, a man enters the scene, born 1875, died 1947. Horrible person, Aleister Crowley. He founded the religious philosophy of Thelema, which is the worship of Satan, and his motto is, do what thou wilt. He wrote the Book of the Law. It states, do what thou wilt shall be the whole of the law. In other words, do what thou wilt is do what you want to do. And that's true Satanism. If you've not heard that, there's a Bible study on our website called Satanism. People who worship Satan don't care about the devil. It's just an excuse to get to do what they want to do. They said, we use Satan's name, but we don't love Satan. We go to the Church of Satan because they get to do what they want to do. You understand? So Satan doesn't care who you worship as long as you don't do what God wants you to do. Right? Okay, that's important to understand. So he comes up with this statement here. You say, why is this? You're going to see this now repeated from the early 1900s all the way through. After he dies, the rock and roll movement, and this is what drives rock, rap, and all the bad music that's being generated. It's do what thou wilt. If it feels good, do it. Do what you want to do. Nobody tells you the rebellion. It started with Aleister Crowley. So now this element gets put into it. He included in his book ideas from the occult, yoga, East, and Western mysticism, especially Kabbalah. He writes a book here, 8 Lectures on Yoga. Expressed views about sex that were radical. He's just a nasty individual. He stated that he was in revolt against the moral and religious values of his time. He looks like a pleasant individual, right? His father of modern-day Satanism, he was denounced by the popular press in England of his day as the wickedest man in the world. And they got that from his mother, okay? He would brag about how he broke every one of the Ten Commandments, okay? So here's a nasty individual that now is going to influence from the early 1900s the rest of the bad music that enters into America and that is generated and goes all over the world. Okay? He desired to use music to bring on the new age. He desired to use an army of youth to indoctrinate with do what thou wilt. That statement. Crowley taught that one could become a genius in music through practicing his Satanism. Why? Because what's Satan's specialty? Music, right? Okay. So, a man named Robert Johnson, he enters the scene. He's often considered the first bluesman in the chain, ultimately leading, that will lead, it'll go blues, jazz, and then finally rock and roll. Who was the first blues player? A man named Robert Johnson. Okay, they titled this. He experienced what Crowley said in his life. In other words, selling your soul to the devil. Many of his songs refer to his personal deal that he made with the devil so that he could be a musician. He wanted it so badly, so he makes a deal with the devil. And that's him. That's Robert Johnson. Me and the devil walking side by side. Okay, enough, right? All right, that's Robert Johnson. Blues is now going to start to come on the scene in America. All right? He wrote, everyone knows you make a deal with the devil down at the crossroads. Okay? And he literally sold his soul to the devil for success. Friends and colleagues shared that for the balance of his life, he was a tormented soul. Okay? That's how come, I'll tell you all, if you read Luke 4:4, Matthew 4:4, okay? Remember when Jesus was talking with when the devil was tempting him? What did the devil say? You can have anything in the world you want if you'll just bow down and worship me. That's true to this day. And you don't make it in the music world without selling your soul to the devil. You don't get earthly kingdoms without selling your soul to the devil. You're not going to make it in the world. Oh, I want to grow up and be popular one day. The devil won't let you unless you bow down to him. You can't make it in the music world. Look, when I made my CDs, I didn't make it for the world. I made it for God's people. I wasn't trying to get 100,000 sold. You know what I mean? I wasn't trying to get into Zondervan bookstore. I made it for people that I love, for God's people. And I'm not trying to make my mark in the music world. Okay? To do that, that's a whole different thing there. I did my music was done to be a blessing. Then the blues music that came out of the Congo Square glorified drinking, womanizing, gambling, drugs, violence, depravity. Ministers and pastors warned their congregants not to listen to it. So this is going to be in the late 1800s, early 1900s there, 1920s obviously with the cars there. Many heeded the warning. Even some bluesmen were convinced. This guy here, he used to play the blues. Legendary blues picker Gary Davis refused to play the blues after he was ordained as a reverend. You know, it's what's neat, you know, sometimes somebody will ask me to play a song. I said, and I remember one time, this was about 10 years ago, I said, I can play that. I said, but I don't play that anymore because I'm saved. There's music I used to play that I don't play anymore. And I don't play it because I can't. I don't play it because it's wrong. You understand? Same thing. He got saved. He said, you know what? I don't play that blues anymore. I don't play that because I'm a child of God now. The blues was looked upon as the devil's music. And of course, this is going to be in the early 1900s. There's Robert Johnson. He said, referring to the blues, he said, this sound, my music, did something to women that caused them to do stuff I didn't even understand, but I liked it. Okay? So it's a nasty music. Okay? The amorphous black folk music of the South was shaping into some of the great musical styles of the 20th century blues, which would then later become jazz. If I play a few examples here, this is how the music is going to progress. That's voodoo. That's real voodoo music, okay? All it is the beats and the screaming. Okay, next. So you're going to get into your blues is going to come on. It's a simple, but it's a bad beat. Okay? Next. Blues, bad beat. It's all got voodoo behind it. Okay? Here's another one. Lively Tin Pan Alley tradition of white pop was developed by Irvin Berlin. Okay? Here. Pop comes from the word popular, okay? So if it's pop music, all right, pop, they still use, you know, top 10 pop songs or whatever. Then it went big band. But now jazz is starting to develop. Still got a bad beat. That's why when people go, oh, it's oldies. Well, just because it's old doesn't make it clean, okay? I don't play that in my house. Okay, I don't want that in my house because that's not the right music. Here we go. Here's another example, I think. Okay. That's going to be your jazz and your blues mix. Now it's going to start entering the church. I'm going to take a trip on the gospel ship. It's not bad, but it's got the elements. It's gonna grow, okay? Lead me to that rock that is high. So the music in church is starting to get more of that element in that quartet music. Okay. Everybody seeing how it's starting to go? So out of John chapter 4, okay. So the beat enters the church, then the blues starts entering, but you can do it if you sing Christian words, right? This is going on in the 1940s, 1930s, okay? Aleister Crowley dies, 1947. His Satanism lives on and becomes immortalized. His satanic philosophy, do what thou wilt, combined with the accentuated driving beats of the new music, wreaks havoc on the morals of America and the world. Okay? 1950s come along. World War II's done. The men have come home from war. Prosperity in America goes up. And the kids are more left to themselves, unlike in the Great Depression time where people were struggling when God was raising an army to beat Germany. Amen. Now, the kids can cruise and go out, and the whole philosophy of the family is starting to change because prosperity is all through America and the 50s. The rock and roll starts developing with a southern blues with a strong backbeat. Okay? Then Alan Freed uses the term rock and roll to describe rhythm and blues. And it's an immoral term that was used in 1952, I think it was. But it's a term that refers to the immorality of rock and roll. Then Billy Haley and the Comets comes along in 1954. And they begin writing hit songs. As a white band using black-derived forms, they ventured into rock and roll. So we went from folk to blues to jazz, high band, and now it develops into rock music. Okay, and that's going to hit in the 1950s.
1, 2, 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock, rock. 5, 6, 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock, rock. 9, 10, 11
o'clock, rock. Okay, what I'd like you to notice, 1954... Okay, most would say, oh, that's 1950s music. It's voodoo. Everybody see that? Do you know how many people listen to that and go, oh, yeah, that was playing when I was... It's voodoo. But people, well, it's because it's old. We listen to it, and there's a justification that goes on, and it's amazing to me. Nobody, as far as, you don't recognize that? Watch this, a few more, Little Richard. My true belief about rock and roll is this. If you don't know who Little Richard is, it's probably best, but he's like Tutti Frutti All Rudy, okay? So, okay. He said, I believe this kind of music is demonic. He started out as a rock musician. I guess he got saved in the 70s or late 60s or something like that. But when a guy that plays it says, no, he says, a lot of beats in music today are taken from voodoo, from the voodoo drums. And if you study music and rhythms like I have, you'll see that this is true. And this is from The Life and Times of Little Richard by Charles White. When a performer, I mean, the guy could play the piano, okay? Okay, he was a world-known musician. He said, you study the rhythms, I'm telling you, it's voodoo music. That's what he called voodoo. That's what he called voodoo. He said that's wrong. Oh no, that's jazz. That's big band music. It's wrong. I'm glad he called the dog a dog. Amen. If it's voodoo music, then call it voodoo music. VH1 Rockumentary said it was through the innocent looks of Bill Haley that rock music was able to slip through the parental radar like a Trojan horse. Oh, he looks so nice with his little, you know, curly Q or whatever it was. Yeah, devil used him in a great way. Then rock was popular with teens wanting to break out of a conservative American mold. It appealed to the rebellion, right? Get listening to the drums and, right? Then, here we go. It was decadent, dangerous, immoral. People called it obscene. These are all from the 50s, okay? Memphis Beat, the author talks of a part of Memphis that was involved in immorality. Mill Street, this is where the houses of prostitution, the taverns, the gambling places were. He states that there was always a certain type of music at Mill Street, and he says this, the forbidden pleasures of Mill Street always, always came wrapped in the pulsing rhythms of the blues. Now, I think we're going to end there tonight, but what I hope I show you is when we say there's a rhythm that is bad and filthy, we're not making it up. And it's not because we don't... Okay, if you want to know, my flesh likes rock music. My flesh likes jazz. My flesh likes blues. But it's filthy, so I'm supposed to deny myself, right? So I'm supposed to say, I'm not listening to that. I don't play, I don't want that because of how it affects me. I need my mind. Remember those verses we saw? If you did your own word search in the Bible, be sober-minded. Be in control of your mind. You're not supposed to turn your mind over to anything. God says, be in control of your faculties. And isn't it amazing when you're listening to good music? I mean, I've got so much good music in my office. If you need good music, I'll give it to you. But oh my goodness, what parents are playing for their kids? It's so damaging. I'm just amazed. I'm just amazed. If the only people we can affect, praise the Lord, here, I want it in your homes. If you need any type of good music, please let me know. But I hope when you leave here, I hope for the rest of the week, when you go elsewhere, just notice how the rock music and the voodoo music has it's everywhere. It's everywhere. You ought to look at your home and say, this is my safe haven. Amen. We'll dive into the rest of it next week. Let's pray. Father, thank you again for, Lord, you said your people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. I pray that, Lord, please use this to help us. And Lord, when the world just, Lord, they just go on in ignorance. Please, help us to seek your will in our music, what we sing, what we sing to you. And then, Lord, may many hear it.